My name is Pete Bianco, and I'm with Utica Phoenix, and I've contacted Professor Boyle this afternoon to ask you your opinions about the attack on Mr. Soleimani, or the assassination, rather. Mr. Boyle, could you tell us your credentials on this issue?
Yeah, my name is Francis Boyle. I'm professor of law at the University of Illinois College of Law, and I teach courses on international law, international human rights law, and the constitutional law of U.S. foreign affairs.
So the reason that I was calling you is the first thing that stood out to me in this story is that this is an assassination, and I thought that targeted assassinations were illegal, but I didn't know under which laws they're illegal.
We have presidential executive order by going back to President Ford that was issued in the aftermath of the CIA scandals coming out of the church hearings in reaction to Watergate that's been on the books all those years. It also violates the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which the United States government is a party. It was also an act of aggression against Iraq, since we did not have the permission of the government of Iraq to do any of this.
I see. Interesting. That part I was not aware of. Also, I saw an article where you said that this is also in a violation of the War Powers Clause.
That is correct. It's a violation of the War Powers Clause of the U.S. Constitution and the War Powers Resolution of 1973. The use of force here without any prior authorization by Congress is required under both sources of authority.
How does that relate to the AUMF, or the Authorization for Use of Military Force Against Terrorists?
Right. Well, the Trump administration, and especially Secretary of State Pompeo, who is behind me at Harvard Law School and knows better, has tried to use these two AUMFs from 2001 against Al-Qaeda and 2002 against Iraq. Neither of them are relevant to this situation. The one on Iraq was directed against the removal of Saddam Hussein from power, and it expired, sometime in 2003.
Oh.
Indeed, Obama pulled us out. So it's still on the books. I think Congressman Lee is introducing a resolution to revoke it. But it has, that's 2002. It has no bearing at all in this situation. And Pompeo is just lying, and he knows it. Again, he was behind me at Harvard Law School. He's a member of this Federalist Society that are diehard bigots, racist, imperialists, warmongers, totalitarians. And their position is what they've advised Trump. His White House advisor. Well, I'm president. I can do whatever I want, which is what Trump said, and that's pretty much the Federalist Society version of things. The unitary power theory of the presidency, going back to Thomas Hobbes and the Leviathan. And I also teach philosophy of law here at the College of Law, and I lecture on Hobbes.
Interesting. And so, with the assassination again, that you said it took us back to President Ford. What's the specific law that's cited in that case on assassinating people?
There was no specific case. It was an executive order. I can't recall the exact number, but it's still on the books. I think it's something like Executive Order 12333 or something like that. You'd have to check that out. I read it years ago.
Okay.
But you know, these Federalist Society lawyers have tried to interpret it out of existence, and that's just pure baloney. It's still on the books, and it still represents certainly customary and conventional international law.
Now, what about the recent vote to limit Trump's war powers? I hear that there's a couple different ways that they could have done it. I guess one is through a consensus vote, and I'm not sure what the other way is.
Right. I read the Slotkin resolution that was passed yesterday by the House. And you have to understand, Slotkin is CIA. You know, once CIA, always CIA.
Oh.
So this is sort of the CIA's war powers resolution, backed up by Pelosi and the rest of the hardcore, I guess, the Democratic Party. But if you read through the Slotkin resolution, it's riddled with so many holes that it isn't really a restraint on President Trump from doing anything. And indeed, Trump and Pompeo, my fellow Harvard Law graduate, would just drive a truck through those holes. So anyone looking at that would have to reach that conclusion. As for the technicality here of the resolution, under the War Powers Resolution as originally passed by Congress in 1973, they had in there what was known as a legislative veto, which meant that if either a House of Congress passed a concurrent resolution terminating the president's use of force, that would be binding. And the Slotkin resolution said 30 days. Well, you know, we could have a major war over there in the next 30 days for all we know.
And yeah.
Now, the Washington Post just revealed, I just got on the wire service here, my internet, that they were going to assassinate another Iranian official in Yemen. So it seems to me there was a far broader military operation at work that we were advised in the first place, and the notion that this was some imminent threat is total baloney, and no one believes that.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Paul, that senator from Utah, they're both Republicans, they don't believe it. So we're just being lied to, as we were on weapons of mass destruction by Bush Jr. Now, that being said, then, that was the original War Powers Resolution, that the president should obey a concurrent resolution that is passed by either House of Congress, either the House or the Senate. But what happened is, in a Supreme Court case, INS versus Chadha, the Supreme Court struck down legislative vetoes as unconstitutional. So, therefore, Pelosi knew, and her lawyers and Slotkin knew full well, that this resolution wasn't going to make a hill of beans difference. So it really was all kabuki theater between you and me that we saw played out this week on the floor of the House. That being said, there is another piece of legislation that has just been unveiled by Congressman Ro Khanna.
Yes.
And supported by Senator Sanders, that has teeth in it, and in my opinion, having read through it, is fully consistent with the War Powers Clause of the Constitution, the War Powers Resolution of 1973, and the United Nations Charter. So, you know, my advice, if you're interested in not seeing a war here with Iran,
yes,
everyone should be mobilizing behind the Khanna Sanders resolution. And I, you know, I'm a political independent. I'm not here, you know, to endorse Bernie Sanders for president one way or the other. I'm just saying this is a worthwhile piece of legislation. It has rhetoric in there that I think is counterproductive, but it doesn't affect the operative provisions of the legislation itself.
Right. Now, what could you say about the War Powers Act? I saw that there was something about a 60-day clause in there. And how does that affect everything?
Right. Well, it's a misnomer propagated by all these Federalist Society lawyers that under the War Powers Resolution, the president can use force for 60 days. That is not correct. Here, let me get the text of the document here.
Sure.
So it says in Section 2, Paragraph C, the constitutional powers of the President as Commander-in-Chief to introduce U.S. Armed Forces into hostilities or into situations where imminent involvement in hostilities is clearly indicated by the circumstances, we have that here for sure, are exercised only to pursuant to 3. A national emergency created by attack upon the United States, its territories, or possessions, or its armed forces. And the 60-day clock applies to paragraph 2C3. That is, the 1 is a declaration of war, 2 is specific statutory authorization, neither of which we have here. So 3 means that if there is an attack upon the U.S., its territories, possessions, or armed forces, the president can use military force to defend us. And indeed, if you go back to the Philadelphia Convention for the drafting of the War Powers Clause of the Constitution, the proceedings clearly said that they wanted to preserve the right of the president to defend us in the event of a sudden attack. Now, notice the War Powers Resolution says attack. It does not say imminent attack. That's not in there. Now, Slotkin snuck that into the language of her resolution, which is total baloney. And we know full well, there was no imminent attack here. No one's confirming. They couldn't even convince these two Republican senators that came out and condemned them.
Well,
and that also was clearly the intention of the War Powers Clause of the Constitution, that if we were actually attacked and Congress could not meet to declare war or whatever, the president, because back in those days, Congress was not in continual session. It was the founding of the Republic. So, of course, the president could defend us from an actual attack. So that's why, you know, the Slotkin resolution is just, in my opinion, warmongering garbage. Also, next week, Senator Kaine will be introducing legislation in the Senate. But if you read at the very end where it says rule of construction, it says, well, nothing in here is intended to interfere with the president defending the United States from, quote, an imminent attack, unquote.
Huh.
Well, sure it is, see, because we all know that's what Trump is claiming now at Pompeo to justify their assassination of Soleimani.
Isn't the language of...
It's not going to restrict anything, because Trump will just get out there and lie the next time, even if that is passed, and say, well, we're facing an imminent attack, so... we have to go to war.
Isn't the language of the imminent attack the same kind of thing as the Bush's preemptive strike?
That's right. Philosophically, it's pretty much the same. And that whole doctrine, the National Security Report on that, was drafted by all these neocon militarists like Wolfowitz and the rest of them. You're exactly right.
Well, I thank you for clarifying the details of this for me. If more things develop, I'll be checking back in with you.
Yeah, that's fine. And send me a link to whatever story you put out on this, please.
Sure will. Thank you very much for your time today.